Welcome to the Mr. Nobody Podcast, starring Mr. Nobody. A story of deception, evil, and lies. Testing. 1, 2. This is the Mr. Nobody Podcast, brought to you by Mr. Nobody, an exploration of grief and my journey, specifically regarding the death of my only son. Who ended his life with the use of heroin. What is the meaning of grief?
I shall never know.
What is it good for?
I shall never know.
How is it caused? Grief is the result of an expectation that was forever
extinguished.
It makes sense, doesn't it? I hoped for one thing, for something which will forever be denied.
The result of lies.
Try to find meaning. Try to squeeze some bit of sense
out of this new reality. All my appreciation
and respect for life
and its properties
does not ease the pain. I've been struggling with that a lot over the last few months, weeks,
and days,
feeling guilty for my grief.
Guilty.
Undeserving
of my grief.
Something feels wrong in my system. I don't know what it is. I feel like I have been poisoning myself
with grief,
rage, shame, dark fantasies,
violent fantasies.
Focusing on the injustice in the world, the danger,
the crime.
I don't want you to go there with me. I don't want you to become like this.
A monster. A shadow. A hateful thing.
I haven't been able to shut it off.
I'm afraid of my own death.
That I will experience it with this anger and bitterness.
And rage.
I'm questioning everything.
My own story.
My meaning. My purpose. I haven't rejoined the world. It's here, it's in me.
It's outside.
It's all around, but I haven't rejoined it. It has abandoned me, life itself. Life itself, life itself, self, self, self.
I shall never know.
I fear
that if I don't
allow my hardest, my darkest,
and my most difficult thoughts.
To release that they're going to get me like an animal, an undistinct, wild animal.
Chasing me down.
Through a terrain that is not my terrain, catching up to me in increments.
And I'm terrorized.
I wonder how much of my mind I can continue to give to the predators, to the evil, to the violence,
to the unlove,
to the cruel, to the unjust, the evil. How much of my mind can I give to that before that consumes me? Doing to myself.
What am I doing to myself?
What am I doing to myself? Those things exist. I feel dishonest, pretending to live like they don't. Those things took my son from me, at least in part. I feel pretty sure that if heroin wasn't flooding our country and being made incredibly inexpensive and available through drug pushers, my son probably wouldn't have encountered it in the same way.
I shall never know.
Who knows if I'm wrong about that?
I shall never know.
I never encountered it at a party where a friend said, "Hey man, do you want to try some heroin? It's fucking great." If I had, at my most vulnerable, after my father died, and I was a mess, early years of high school.
Confused, angry, lonely, disturbed.
Betrayed by my father. Maybe I would have tried heroin.
I shall never know.
I know I have to live without my son. I have to face life.
Without him.
That almost seems like a hallucination, a dream, not real. That there must be some mistake, but there's not. And I'm still reeling from that truth, that reality. What is real? Something that is lost forever, that can't be replaced, that there's only one of. There was only one of him.
What is real? Something that is lost forever, that can't be replaced, that there's only one of.
Just a thought. I have known people on drugs like heroin, speed, coke. There was never a person that I met engaged in that
who seemed happy or
inspired. I never met a single drug user that made me feel like I wanted to emulate them.
But there was something about what they were into that was intriguing or cool, mysterious, or unlock some secret lock that could only be unlocked with that certain key?
Not a single one. In fact, the opposite. To a person, they were
lost.
And worse, partaking in the evil and becoming part of it.
Perpetrating it.
Allowing it and spreading it. I've known some happy pot smokers and psychedelic users. No drunks.
Drunks are always sad.
Even when they're happy.
They're sad the next day.
It's evil. What we do to ourselves. And what the predators, the pushers, and false friends are doing.
I'm ashamed that my son is among
a set of people
that spread this evil.
And I feel responsible.
He's not here. He can't say anything about it.
He can't redeem himself. There's no light in that lantern, and my heart is darkened.
When I think of
the way his light went out, I don't enjoy feeling this way, and I don't want you to be among
people like myself. A monster. A shadow.
Human mind could imagine the enormous destructive power of this maddened, killing thing. You're as good as dead.
You get the picture. No good comes from it. No good art. No good industry. I once saw a woman almost eat a fucking couch looking for her coke.
She tore that thing up.
And she got crazier and crazier. We were rehearsing, and she owned the place, and she was out of her mind. How's that for a colloquialism? To be out of your mind.
I was pretty young when I saw that.
Around 19, I think I owned a black Stratocaster. I was playing with
these guys from Eastern Europe.
And they were fucking great. I remember that night for another reason.
I had moved
from one apartment to another apartment, which sounds like no big deal.
But at 19,
living on my own, no real skills. I knew how to paint.
But I took this apartment that was
more expensive than where I had been before. Probably normal expensive with two other sets of roommates. And I basically ran out of money.
And I didn't have
money to buy food. It's pretty weird, like, when you run out of money to that extent.
I didn't want to call my mother across the country.
I wanted to figure it out somehow. I don't remember at that time where I was working.
But I remember I had not been eating.
And this had been going on for a few days. And I was feeling the effects
of whatever that is, malnutrition.
And it was really the first time in my life where I felt in danger somehow. I wasn't going to be able to keep the apartment for very long.
I had a thin mattress and my guitars.
I'm looking back at myself. Perhaps wishing somebody had clued me in a little more.
Not once or twice, but
in a more comprehensive, habitual way, like how I did with my son. I wasn't going to turn into a thief.
or prostitute.
I was going to figure it out. But that night, after we left
the rehearsal with the Coke lady,
we went to this little cafe, and the guys I was with were a little older than I was, and
they had their lives together.
And they ordered a tea or a coffee or something. And my friend Peter from
Czechoslovakia at the time
said, you know, do you want a coffee? And I'm like, no, I'm fine. And he's like, well, we're all going to have coffee. Are you sure you don't want, you know, a coffee or a tea? And I said, no, I didn't, you know, bring my wallet or something.
I have many dollars in my pocket. I will certainly be happy to buy you a coffee or tea.
So I said, thank you, Peter. I'll have a coffee. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, coffee is like a
delivery system for a croissant
or a muffin or something. Like, just drinking a straight cup of coffee is a little rough. And I was not going to ask for food. It was late.
We weren't going there to eat.
But my blood sugar was low and my head was light and I was weak.
Physically weak.
We got our coffees, and as we were walking out of this cafe, near closing time,
towards the front of the door,
some people must have left just quite recently because their leftovers were still on the table.
I saw
a 3/4 piece of chocolate cake sitting on a plate.
And I positioned myself behind these guys as they were walking out the door.
I took a napkin in my hand from the counter, and as I walked past that table, which was near the door,
leading outside,
I just laid the napkin on the cake
and swiped it up
and went right out the door. What does this mean? I didn't consider it theft because it was going to be thrown away.
I had to eat it in the darkness while talking to these guys.
While they were turned away or talking in a way that they didn't notice that I was doing that. That I was doing that. That I was doing that. Doing that. Doing that. Doing that. Doing that. And sipping my coffee, and
it was the most incredible thing.
Chocolate cake and coffee. Not exactly food,
but
it rescued me in that moment. And it was
a wake-up call.
I realized where I really was. I was 19, I had no money, I had no
marketable skills,
and I could not continue on the path I was on, swiping a piece of chocolate cake for my dinner
without knowing how I was going to survive.
I don't remember all the details of the weeks or days that followed, but I do remember vowing to myself that couldn't go on. The state needed to be addressed quickly, creatively, and honestly. It didn't feel right stealing the cake, or let's just say, making all the excuses about the cake, you know, like it's not stealing and whatever.
But I could see the fork in the road.
As clearly as I saw the fork marks in the cake, and one of those directions was just going to take me
down to some couch that I was going to try to eat.
And I couldn't let that happen to myself. And that's where I'm getting with this.
I was somehow able to look down
upon myself with a parental love, with a concern that was existential,
and with
a sense of recognition that I was capable of better than this.
I cannot let myself starve. I've taken food many a time as a musician. I once ate a whole table full of oysters, but this was different. I was actually fucking starving. I hadn't eaten significantly in 3 days.
often confuse my son and myself, where I think of him having these conversations with himself about, don't do this, this is fucked up, this is really fucked up.
He didn't have that conversation
with himself when he took the fork in the road in the wrong direction.
And degraded
his life completely. Completely. And here's the trouble I have. Because even if you do that for yourself 1,000 times, but you don't on the 1 or 2 or 5 times,
when you're fucking with things that will
kill you, that are evil, if you allow yourself to drink from that cup of evil,
even 1 time,
and I mean that, you know it. Swiping the chocolate cake, that wasn't
evil. It was in the wrong direction.
But calling a drug dealer, buying your needles, whatever the fuck you do,
to set it up, to do it, to tell yourself
that it's okay, or that you deserve it, or that whatever you tell yourself. It negates all the other times you did the right thing, because you're dead. And this is where I am with my son. He was a fucking awesome person. He was amazing. Better than me. Better than most people I've known. And he didn't check this. And it wasn't just a whoopsie. He planned it. And that undid a lot. I wonder what he would think about what we're doing here, this sort of conversation we're having. My work, my heartbreak, it's fucking bullshit. This is not some positive thing that has come out of some tragedy. Make sure you understand that. This is sheer fucking bullshit brought about by evil. And I don't want that to happen to you. I don't want you to become like me. A monster full of hate. A shadow full of grief. I'm becoming aware that part of my world collapsed.
Not all of it.
A part that has cast a shadow across the rest of it. I seek meaning. I seek blame.
I seek
absolution.
I seek nothing. All at the same time.
I want to leave you with this one vision, and it's probably my most difficult vision. Where I see myself at peace, being connected, really connected, not just there, but wanting to be there.
Knowing I belong
there. sharing my deepest work and learning
in communion with others
and nature. I see trees all around me, and I know there's animals, and that makes me feel good because animals aren't hung up
like we are, although we're animals.
And I don't hate my son
for what he did,
or myself and my life for this story.
And I'm laughing.
Not just to make other people feel that I'm not a sociopath or
weird,
but because I'm really, really laughing, because something is funny. It's a very distant and faint
vision,
but there it is. I do not know how I'll get there, or if I'll get there, because I can sense my resistance.
A few times people have said, well, what would he have wanted for you?
Would he want you to be this unhappy, this disturbed? No.
No, he wouldn't.
Our minds are not like faucets that we can turn on and off. Not at this level.
Perhaps in some
cases, we can do that. I hate that I have to take this journey. The other option is
not very life-affirming.
I don't even know why I think I'm a monster and a shadow.
It thinks me.
It thinks me.
It thinks me.
I loved my son so much, and this
story
has become like an antagonist,
an enemy.
Something that has made the whole world unsafe, unreliable, and untrustworthy.
We'll see what happens.
What is evil? You don't need anyone to tell you. It's something inside
all of us. We are the ones who perpetrate it.
Who create it, succumb to it, and give it different clothing.
Cloak it, if you will. So that no light shines there.
The light of reason cannot penetrate the evil path.
And maybe it's not just reason, because you can reason yourself
to death, like I'm sure my son did, and many other
lost souls
have done. It's not good. It doesn't
affirm life and flourishing. And dreaming of beautiful things, powerful things, living human things, states, and realities.
Potentially.
But we have some say in the matter. And that's not nothing. Thank you for listening. I do appreciate it. Mr. Nobody. Out.